message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
It's my pleasure this morning to welcome you to God's presence. We want to start by thanking God for His privilege, for the privilege given to us to be alive. And I know that this morning, God will meet with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's our covenant day of destiny restoration. And before we go full blast into that, I'll be speaking briefly on a message titled, Showers of Blessing Lifestyle. Showers of Blessing Lifestyle. As it has been explained in the course of this month, our month of showers of blessing, and our year of showers of blessing, God is a God of blessing, and He wants to bless your family, according to the book of Ezekiel 34:26, which is our anchor scripture for the year. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season, and there shall be showers of blessing. So God wants you to be an embodiment of blessing. He wants your family to experience blessing on a permanent basis. That wonderful daughter of God said, as I pasted the sticker of showers of blessing on my door, said, throughout the week, doors open up. And somebody's here today. Doors of blessing will open to you in the name of Jesus. I was sharing with them in the course of the week of one of our brothers here. I've seen him somewhere this morning, who came to me after the service last week Sunday. That on the first day of the showers of blessing fast, very dangerous declarations went forth from this altar. And he received every one of it in faith. And as he got home, and then the following day, a high-ranking official of the government in this nation, very high-ranking, very, very, very high. I mean, everybody here knows the person. The wife of the person has a farm. He didn't have a contact. He doesn't know the farm. Neither has he heard the name of the farm before. And neither does he know the woman, as it were. Somebody called and said, we are from so-so-so-so-so-so. We heard you supply so-so-so. We need this quantity in Abeokuta. You know, you can't jog from here to Abeokuta. We need it in Abeokuta. Send your account number. How much is it? Then they said, this is it. Then send your account number. Same minute, alert entered. Papa, papa, papa into his phone. He couldn't believe it. Is this how blessings come? Is this how blessings come? And somebody's here today. There will be a repeat of that testimony in your life. I said, there will be a repeat of that testimony in your life. I said, there will be a repeat of such testimony in your life. But there are some lifestyles that brings about these showers of blessing. I'll take this quickly and then we'll move on this morning. Showers of blessing lifestyle. We have talked a little bit about one or two things in the course of the fasting. But this morning we'll be looking at some very vital things that will guarantee showers of blessing. Number one this morning is called the God first mentality. Or what you can call passion for God and His kingdom. God first mentality. Your God first mentality will always result in blessings for you. And that's why Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, we should seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and every other thing shall be added. And somebody's here this morning, blessings shall be added to you. What is a God first mentality? A God first mentality is a life of deep love for God and for the kingdom of God. A life of deep love for God and for the kingdom of God. A life of deep love for God and for the kingdom of God. Number two, what is a God first mentality? A heart beating permanently for God. Psalms 42 verse 1, David said, as the heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. So David was a man whose heart was permanently panting after God. That's what they call God first mentality. Your heart is attached to God. You love Him passionately. You care about Him passionately. Number three, it means a life that gives liberally. You give liberally. You give buoyantly to God's work and to His kingdom. If God knows that you love Him and is sure that His blessings will, if it comes to your life, it will not stay with you alone. It will flow into His kingdom. sure to bless you. In Proverbs 11 verse 24 and 25, Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, the Bible says there's one that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there's an eater that withholdeth them more than his need, but he tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. If God is sure that if he blesses you, the kingdom will fill it. If he's sure that if he will bless you, then you'll be ready to build churches, you'll be ready to buy buses, you'll be ready to pay people school fees, you'll be able to do things that affect the kingdom. You are already on your way to blessings. A kingdom-minded lifestyle. Kingdom-minded lifestyle. Kingdom-giving lifestyle. Not to show off. Not to show off, but to give glory to God and to return the glory to him. Number four, what is kingdom mentality? I mean, God-first mentality. It means kingdom priority life. Your life is a life of kingdom priority. Yeah, that is, you give God first place in service. You serve him with your gift. Some of the people that play instruments here, some of the people in the choir, you'll be amazed the kind of people and the class of people they are. When you see them, just means they just say, these ones are, maybe they are small boys. When they all of them tell you that some of them have masters, some of them, I'm doing my PhD, you'll be surprised. And you are ministering like this. That is what they call kingdom priority lifestyle. Evangelism, you are there. You want to win souls. You know that evangelism is a pivotal part of the work of God. The soul winning endeavor, like the project we are just doing now, the Operation Good News. Some of you yesterday met me on the field. Where is that? You met me yesterday on the field. We jammed ourselves. She was doing her own, I was doing my own with her team. Kingdom priority lifestyle. Kingdom priority lifestyle. Kingdom priority lifestyle. Kingdom priority lifestyle. A life where service is important, evangelism is important. Kingdom praying every day of your life. Bible says in that place in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus was teaching disciples how to pray. He said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." That is, anytime you are praying, you put the kingdom. The reason why most people, their prayers are not answered is because their prayer is only for themselves. Father, I need more money. Oh God, I must pack for my house by force, by fire. By force, by fire, you must do it. You must do it. Oh, if you don't do it, I will just retire from the service of serving you. But when you are the kind of person that every time you pray for the Father, let more souls be won. Let your kingdom be established in Nigeria. Father, bless your church. Expand the cell system. Oh God, empower your servant. Give him more grace. Give him more power. Anoint him afresh. Let more unction flow. That is how to get the attention of God. That is how to get God's attention. Say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing. Car is a thing. House is a thing. All these things are things. They can be added freely. Things that many people pray for, it amazes me. There are things that should come to you naturally if you are deliberately involved in the kingdom. Kingdom priority lifestyle is a guarantee of God's blessings. Number four, what is kingdom priority lifestyle? It is a life that is concerned about the advancement and the development of God's house. Malachi 3, 17 and 18. God always distinguishes between those that serve him and those that serve him not. And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Somebody say, serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Let that scripture stay there for like 5 seconds. This is not my own imagination. This is God's word. There will always be a difference between those that serve him and those that serve him not. The Bible said it. I didn't say it. He said God himself will put a difference between those that serve him and those that don't. I ain't going to say your worst. In fact, I'm sure in another 1 hour the service will be over. I'm already on my way. Forget it. For another week. He said there will always be a distinction. The blessing will always pursue those that serve him. And those that don't serve him will be pursuing the blessing. Be wise. Somebody is here today. What others are pursuing will be pursuing you. I say, what others are pursuing will be pursuing you. Your passion for God's kingdom affects your portion. In fact, can I tell you, your passion for God's kingdom affects your pocket. When you have passion for God's kingdom, your pocket will be affected. See, I've been young, now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. You will never beg for bread in life. You will never beg for bread in life. Anyone who favors God's kingdom always attracts God's favor in life. You always attract God's favor in life. Psalm 102, verse 13 and 14. Psalms chapter 102. Verse 13 and 14. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. For thy servant take pleasure in thy stones and favor the dust. Say, he will bless you with favor and lift you up, singly because you favor the house of God. You favor the kingdom of God. You favor the things that will promote the work. Anything that will move God's work forward, it is in your heart. And because of that, you experience the blessing of God. And I pray for somebody here today, God will give you the grace to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. I say, God will give you the grace to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let God be the reason why you are alive. Let God be the priority, the key. Many of us make God, like if you have 10 things in priority, God is now number 9, or sometimes even number 10. When you live your life like this, blessings might come, but not at the speed that you require. Make God the first person you talk to in the morning. Before you start making calls, before you start responding to your WhatsApp, make God the first person you talk to. Before you start calling back your missed calls, make God the first person that you speak to in the morning. In the morning, early in the morning, I will rise and praise the Lord. Rise up early enough, before the dawning of the day, before it becomes bright. Either in your room, or if you are a student and you are many in your room, you don't want to disturb them, go to the field. Stay in the field. Lift up your voice to him. Let him know that he's the reason. That was why we sang that song. You are the reason I live. You are the one for me. You are the one. Let him be the first. I mean, my wife knows, God knows that I love her. But the love I have for her, the love I have for God, can never be compared to the love I have for her. I spend more time with him than I spend with her. And that has been on a permanent basis. Permanent basis. Let God be the center of your life. Let him be everything. Let your mentality think God. Let your mind think God. Let your strength be for God. Don't spend all your strength on your work alone. Then you have no strength left to pray. You have spent all your time, all your strength on work. Then you not even a word of prayer or praise. Baba, hey, Baba, we dey forever now. Oh, we praise you now. Hey, we praise you, Baba. You know the beauty of prayer? You can pray in broken. You can pray in your language. Alagbada, you know. Alawotelio, Obanla, King of Glory, Lord of Lords, Ebubedike. You can, anyhow, you can do it in the toilet. You can do it in the bathroom. You can do it on the road, anywhere. That is the beauty of communication with God. Anywhere you find yourself, let the God mentality be upon your life. Let your mind speak God. Let your mind speak God. Let your conduct speak God. Then you are ready. You are ready. You are ready. You are ready for the shipload of blessings. It's a new day for you here today. Amen. Number 2, lifestyle that brings about showers of blessing is a lifestyle of confidence in God. I have confidence in you, Jesus. I have confidence in you, Savior. I have confidence in you. Anytime, any day, I have confidence in you. Jehovah. A life of confidence in your maker is a sure guarantee for your blessing. If your heart can trust God, you will not rust in life. If you can trust, you will not rust. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 8, it is forbidden for you to put trust in man. It's a curse. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Go on now to verse 8. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good come, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man. Someone say, blessed is the man. You can stop here because of time. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, whose hope, and we sang on hope this morning. Don't put your hope or your trust in any. Someone say, but you're a pastor. Why are you saying like this? Don't put your trust in any except the Almighty. He is the only one that can fail you. Once God sees that your trust is in Him, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 7, Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 7, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will what? He will direct your path. So God is the director of your life. If God is sure that your confidence is in Him, if He's sure that His confidence, your confidence is in Him, you are made. The absence of Job said in Job 14 verse 14, all the days of my life will I wait until what? My change comes. I will wait. Every day of my life I am waiting. Say, what are you waiting for? I'm waiting for God. God. I said, that's what I'm waiting for. Okay, what are you waiting for? I am waiting for God. Listen to me, friends. What God can do, it can be done. And you know, with God, all things are possible. Don't allow anything to shake your faith. Don't allow anything to move you from God's presence. Let your heart be fixed. Have a fixed heart. Say, whatever, I am staying with this God. He blesses me. He doesn't bless me. He lifts me. He doesn't lift me. He promotes me. He doesn't promote me. My heart is made up. I've got my mind made up. How many of us have got our mind made up? So get your mind made up and get it made up now. Get your mind made up now. Once God can pick it, that your confidence is in Him, that is the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of blessings. Many trust in different things. Some trust in their beauty. Some trust in different things. Some trust in their handsomeness. Some trust in their money. But one thing that you and I must trust in continually is God. Once this happens, then you are made. Maybe you have been waiting on the Lord for something over a period of time. Maybe it is as if time is passing by. Maybe it seems as if time is no more on your side. I've waited for this. I've waited for this. And you can count years. You count me with your hands. You start counting. 1, 2, 3. I've been waiting. Now it is because you are alive. That's why you can count. And I can tell you, as God liveth, your waiting period is over. Amen. I say your waiting period is over. Bible says in Psalms 30 verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. This is somebody's morning. Amen. I said, this is somebody's morning. Amen. If you are that person, let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were men of trust in God. They had confidence in God. In Daniel chapter 3 verse 17 and 18. Daniel 3, 17 and 18. They exhibited, said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. This was men face to face with furnace of fire. Face to face, as in face to face. Not that they were reading it in storybook. They said, all you need to do is don't serve this God again. Turn your backs against God. Just say for a minute that somebody else is God. They say, forget it. Say, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set a full stop. These guys were men of unequivocal confidence in God. They knew the power of their God. They knew that God had the capacity to bring them out, and he never failed. And listen to me, friends. God won't fail you. God will not fail you. I say God will not fail you. Man can fail, but God will not fail you. Man can fail, but God will not fail you. Man can fail, but God will never fail you. So get it. Get it into your mind. Many years ago, I was working in an organization, one of the biggest financial institutions in Nigeria till date. And I went to Lagos for an assignment. And there was a church meeting on Saturday morning. I went to Lagos for the week to do the assignment in Victoria Island for the bank. And I could not finish the assignment. So I phoned my boss. I said, boss, I can't finish the assignment. I am returning back to Ilorin tonight. That was around 6 p.m. or 7 in the evening. I can't remember the time exactly. I'm returning because I have a church service in the morning, very early, 7 a.m. And he said, no way, you can't come back. I said, I must. He said, what do you mean? Is it the church that is paying you, or we are the one paying you? I said, it is God that is paying me. He said, okay, God is... Immediately you come and take your sack letter. You are gone. You are no more working here. I said, thank you very much, sir. Have a nice day. I took bus and came back, was in the service, did all the things I was supposed to do, had fun with God and all that. By the time I saw him next, he was just laughing. I thought he would just say, take this letter and say, you are going, you had the effrontery to face me. I don't play. When you challenge me with the issue of God, you will bow last. That's why the devil knows. He knows it, and he knows it, and he knows it. On the day your confidence in God, that is the beginning of your breakthrough. I'm very, very sure now that by God's grace and privilege, God has lifted me above that level. If you are able to have, you beat church and say, I know God cannot fail me. I know God can fail me. I know God can fail me. I know. And you say it continuously. Not that these guys were saying, I know fire can burn me. I know fire can burn me. I know. Then when they were drawing near the fire, now say, I know. Kesari. Let's give Kesari the Kesari. Then they turn back. Don't turn back. Hold on to God, because he will make something good out of your life. Also, Daniel was a man of confidence in God. In Daniel 6 verse 20 to 22, he was face to face with den of lion. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, he was speaking from inside lion's den. If you read the story very well, you will see how this man was wrongly thrown there. He was thrown there because he was a praying machine. Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. They gang up against him. They saw him praying. He opened his window. He started praying 3 times a day like he normally does. And they said, we got you. Abaladura. Iyaladura. You can see now. We are going to finish you. And then at the end of the day, he continued his prayer. And because of that, from prayer, he landed inside lion's den. And the king said, we want to see what your God will do. There are some people that are here that have challenged you and said they will see what will happen to you as a result of this God you are following. God will prove himself big in their life. God will prove himself big in your life in the name of Jesus. I say God will prove himself big in your life in the name of Jesus. You know, some people, they will say, we will see, we will see, we will see. And honestly, they will see. Because they will see amazing things. If I were you, I would say louder, amen. Amen. What they will see, they will open their mouth, they will not be able to close it. Amen. They will open their mouth like this, they will not be able to close it. Amen. Your story shall be an amazing story. Amen. Your story shall be an amazing story. Amen. Your story will hit Guinness World of Records. Amen. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. God can do anything. He can change anybody's level. He doesn't need anybody's permission. God will not call your enemies together to ask them if he should lift you or not. He won't do that. When he's ready, he will do it. And he can never make you ashamed. Psalm 34, verse 5. He can never, ever make you ashamed. And you will never be ashamed. They looked unto him and their faces were lightened and they were not ashamed. You will not be ashamed. You will not know shame. I say you will not know shame. Say a louder amen. What am I saying? Never lose your confidence in your maker. Never lose your... I mean, I've told you the story before. Years ago, one man who was like a landlord to us at that time, a big man, called me and said, you this man, I can see you're a very hardworking man. Let me show you what it takes to become a big man. I will take you somewhere. I will give you this. I will do. I said, never. I did not even care that I was with the age of my father. I said, never, 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 never. Take me somewhere. Okay, as God retired, as God left his throne, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13, verse 8, the one that can never change, the unchangeable changer, the one that can never fail, as he desired to forget me, he can't forget me. It's just because time and season. That is how life is. Life is about time and season. You see somebody doing well now, clap for the person, thank God for the person. When your own comes, it will beat the person. We changed the light of my office this week because the light there was getting dark. Anytime I'm studying the Bible or reading, the office becomes suddenly dark. And the light we are using now that was changed to is cheaper than the one there. But it is more fanciful and it is more lightful. Whereas when we bought that one and put it there, it was like, this is wonderful. But it's still. What they are doing now and they are braggadoing about, when your own will come, it will dazzle them. I say it will dazzle them. A friend is getting married. Thank God. That's wonderful. That's awesome. That's a fantastic thing. That's a glorious thing. But when your own will happen, and you know what? Ego must happen. I say ego must happen. I say ego must happen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Number three. Lifestyle. Or should I just stop at this number two and we close? We should go on. All right. Number three, lifestyle that guarantees the showers of blessing is a lifestyle of excitement and joy. Someone say excitement and joy. Everything dries up with sadness. Joel 1 verse 12. Joel 1 verse 12. Business dries up. House dries up. Blessing dries up. Bible says, and the vine is dried up. And the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree. The palm tree also. And the apple tree. Even all the trees of... No, the Bible is very, very... is very, very... very, very explanatory. It says everything that is... No, trees represent life. Am I speaking? Trees represent life. He said, everything a man person has will dry up. Say, why? And the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered. Because what? Because joy, water. Joy worker from the house. Joy left that lady. Joy left that man. He said, because of that, everything dries up. Listen, friends. Devil is after your joy. That is the major thing devil is after. To ruin your joy. To frown your face so that he can drown your life. Our Father in the Lord, Bishop David Abioye, he said, when your face is long, your journey becomes very long. When your face is long, then to get to where you are going becomes a problem, becomes a challenge. Short journey now becomes long journey. Why? Because of frowning of face. Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 verse 4, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That is, keep rejoicing. As long as you keep your joy, you must keep your blessing. As long as you keep, K-E-E-P, you keep your joy, you keep your blessing. As long as you skip the joy, you skip the blessing. When it's time to laugh, you refuse to laugh. You're skipping blessings. When it's time to smile, you say no. All the women here, let your house be a house of joy. Immediately your husband comes out, if his eyes is like fire, you know the way some people, men's eyes are, that makes the children to run inside. Daddy has come, then hey, all of you, take rest. Did you hear that is on? Then you as the wife, your smile is to make all that pressure to douse. You make the pressure to just go down. You just bring her, he will even tell you, why? Then you give him more. He's enjoying it. Say, we have not paid rent. You are laughing. Eh? No fear to take the children to school tomorrow. You are laughing. We have not paid children's school fees. You are laughing. Initially, what? Are you a laughing jackal? Say, I'm a laughing person. But when you frown your face, he comes in. He say, hello, darling. He say, hello. Welcome. And then you put your wrapper. You put your wrapper like this. Now he looks at you like this. He's not even seen anything that can make him even come near you. And then your hair under your armpit is so much. That he was considering maybe you should go and call somebody to help you braid it. Eh? No! You freshen up. You tantalize yourself. You prepare yourself. You clean up yourself. And you wear, listen to me, as you wear clothes, you wear smile. As you wear clothes, you wear smile. You determine, you know, joy is a choice. You make the choice. You don't allow Buhari to Buhari you. What's going on? Don't allow the economy to bring so much sadness to you. Don't allow the doctor's report to ruin you. Let me skip that. Because you must realize that these people are also men. You cannot put all your joy, everything about you is now attached to a report. God is changing that verdict today. God is changing that medical 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 verdict today. Let me hear you say amen. If you are sure that God is your God, then you maintain your joy. In Isaiah 12 verse 3, Isaiah 12 verse 3, the Bible says, with joy shall you draw out water out of the wells of salvation. With what joy you draw out water out of the wells of salvation. So keep your joy intact. Proverbs 15:15. Make sure your joy is intact. Better 15, please. God bless you. 15, not 16. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. When you are the kind of person, you are always joyful. You will always have cause to feast. You will always have cause to dance. You will always have cause to celebrate. Listen to me, as God liveth, dancing will not be scarce in your family. Rejoicing will not be scant in your family. And as I conclude, on this covenant day of restoration, it's important for you to realize that God wants to restore your joy. In Joel chapter 2, verse 25 to 27, Joel chapter 2, that's part of our call to worship, says, I will restore to who? To who?
To me.
Oh, I will restore to you what? The years. The years that the locust has eaten, the canker one, and the caterpillar, and the palmer one, my great army which I sent amongst you. And ye shall eat in plenty. That's as a direct result of that restoration. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never. Somebody say shall never. Shall never be ashamed. The work of God in the area of rest. And ye shall know. Go back to verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now listen, the work of God is to restore. In John 10, verse 10, the Bible said, they are the enemy cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. God wants to restore what the devil has stolen from you. And when the devil steals, he must restore it in many folds. He must refund what he has stolen back. That's why this morning you are going to pray like anything. That thing stolen must be restored. That business stolen must be restored. That career stolen must be restored. That dignity stolen must be restored. That virtue stolen must be restored. That baby stolen must be restored. That money stolen must be restored. It must be restored. And on this day, we must realize that God wants all that has been taken from our lives forcefully or otherwise restored. Amongst other things, blessings will be restored, health will be restored, wealth will be restored, helpers and favor will be restored, and spiritual fire and zeal will be restored. Can I hear your loudest amen?
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.